Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's Monday. It's hot. It's supposed to be a little cooler than this, although it can be this hot this time of year. So it's Monday, the Saints lost, and it's hot. All right, I know it's kind of tough, but look, the weekend's going to be here before you know it. The Saints are going to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and, you know, who knows what can happen? You know, the Saints seem like they're kind of close to putting some things together. And a lot of what's happening with the Saints is the result of a new team, a new offensive plan, new coach, new quarterback. And so things are going to happen. And I'm not making excuses, but this is a reality. And I'm not giving up on the Saints yet. And I don't think you should either. Because there are other good teams in the same place we are, 0-2. Like the Kansas City Chiefs. If somebody said at the beginning of the season, two games in, you're going to have the same record as the Kansas City Chiefs, would you have been happy with that? I would have been. Well, that's where we are. You think they're giving up? No. Should we give up? No. And I still think that Spencer Rattler is showing some positive signs of developing. And again, remember, Drew Brees was not a star quarterback when he started. Tom Brady, not a star quarterback when he started. They both had starts. And that's what this is for Spencer Rattler. It's a start. And I know a lot of people like to rag on the quarterback. I totally get that. I've been around this a long time, so I get it. But in a way, it's not fair. All right, let's get back to this conversation. And if you're on hold, we're going to get to your calls. Excuse me. We'll also get to some of your text messages coming up. But how did we get to this point where a guy who is speaking is murdered because of his opinions? That's the way it appears. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, as wacky as she is, she's calling for the United States to be split up. That this country is no longer safe for everybody. She's calling for a national divorce. I don't think that's the answer. I mean, are we going to give up being the United States of America and admit that the bad factors, the bad elements out there won? We shouldn't admit that. We don't need a national divorce. We need a little counseling. And I think we can make this work. I mean, we've made it work for almost 250 years. I don't think we should end this now. And I don't think we should end it, especially because of why we would end it now. We're going to give in to the haters. There are fewer haters than there are the rest of us. The haters get a lot of attention. And as I said in a very heartfelt opening of our show today, I am tired of the hate. I didn't start out in this business to be hated. And the fact that some people hate me, I can deal with that. It's a small group. It's not the biggest group. But I'm not going to contribute to the ease with which people get into the hate channels, making hate the end result. And this is not right versus left. There's extremism, and there are extremists in this country. But it's so easy to rally one side and say, no, it's the other side. And then the other side rallies and says, no, it's the other side. That doesn't get us anywhere. So let's get back to this conversation that we were having. And Ian read a book and interviewed somebody who was really into this. And then I also read an article earlier by a woman who is on Substack. And her Substack account is Abstract Machines. And it's about online extremism. Her name is Sybil Cantarell. And she just goes into Christian nationalist and black-pilled far right. And what looks like, as Ian was saying, what looks like politics is really subculture. And that a lot of this stuff is wrapped up in memes and what might be a sarcastic joke. It might not be real. And so the shooter in the case of Charlie Kirk might have been just doing this for his audience, for the people that he feels like he's in this world with. And the mentality of being embedded in social media or embedded in some of these extreme sites with no monitoring, with nobody to bounce things off in the real world, and then also involved in video games where you're involved in these games and you live in a completely different world, this has the ability to break your brain. And so you're not thinking right. So it seems like it's more being embedded in the media than it is the content of social media. That's the least of the problem. The problem is not the video game. The problem is somebody that sits there and plays a video game for 6 hours every day and gets involved in this other world. That's the problem. So Ian, let's just wrap up this conversation. But I think one of the interesting things about this is that there are people who have people around them, and the people around them are not trying to balance out their lives with what they're getting in this social media world.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what I think. The kids that are black-pilled, they spend all their time in these sort of subcultural spaces where they just enter this kind of forever feedback loop, these sort of like strange recursive, radicalization patterns that there is no way for people in the real world to push back on that. They simply do not have access to these young men in the same way that they would if they were on those same message boards and in those same sort of digital space. So,
do the parents around them not know that they're so involved in this?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to broadly say, I'm not saying it's impossible that an attentive parent or a sibling or a teacher or a counselor would pick up on the cues that these young, a young man in their life is starting to kind of become unreachable in that way.
But they're camouflaged in this world. And I guess in some ways, other things in their world seem to be totally normal. And they're not sharing this other part of their brain with other people.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And it's that shared language that does so much to kind of reinforce, what they're hearing in there. These kids simply do not speak to each other in the same way that you and I do and people kind of in the real world do, or even people, on X and Facebook, there's just not that sort of same recursive capture that exists in these kind of deeply, deep dark web places.
Here's a point that Sybil Cantarell makes on her Substack account, Abstract Machines. She says, in traditional violence, you have ideology first,
right?
Then grievance, then plan, then you act. Mm-hmm. In black pill places, it's changed.
Yeah,
it's audience first, performance, and then act. And so that leads me to believe that this shooter in the Charlie Kirk case was performing for his audience, this world that he lives in, online.
100%. And it's all performative, which is, you know, it's Charlie Kirk was an extremely political person. So to an extent, it feels absurd. It feels absurd to suggest that this was not a politically, ideologically motivated killing. If you look at the other panoply of young, extremist, violent shooters from Christchurch, New Zealand, to the synagogue shootings, to the shootings at, you know, what was it, FSU, just like 2 months ago. We don't talk about that one. That kid was a member of Turning Point USA, and he went onto campus that day and shot black people. What do they all have in common with each other? They all are obsessed with other mass shooters. Whether they're ideologically as liberal or conservative or fascist or anti-fascist or whatever, they're all performing for one another. They all, you know, they're obsessed with learning what they can about, you know, the shooters at Columbine High School and the kid that shot up the AME church a couple years ago. I mean, they know all of the names, they know all the players. And now that's what I think the bullet casings are about. They're like leaving behind these little calling cards. Like, you know, when the Joker in the Batman universe knocks over a bank, he puts a playing card down on the counter or something, you know, like that. I believe that's what he's doing with those bullet casings.
But it also sounds like these people are smart enough to realize the consequences of what is going to happen from their behavior. That they would understand that, like this shooter in the Charlie Kirk case, you'd think that he would be aware enough, because he's aware of all these other things, that he would be aware enough to know that if I do this, I'm going to probably get caught. I'm going to go to prison or maybe face the death penalty.
You know, that's just a kind of aspect of nihilism that I understand exists, but I don't really understand it very well.
Yeah.
You know, they seem not to have a firm grasp on the consequences of their actions. And I can't help but wonder if maybe that's part of why this guy is not cooperating with authorities. Because if he really knew what he did and why he did it and what he was signing up for when he committed that crime, then he would probably be cooperating and telling them why he did that and why he thought it was worth it and how he didn't like Charlie Kirk and he thought Charlie Kirk shouldn't be around anymore.
Well, he sure is not a typical martyr.
No.
Because, a martyr wants you to know why they did it. They want you to know who they killed and why they killed this person. So, you know, the more information that comes out about this, we need to all take into consideration this conversation that you and I are having and judge that information based on this world that exists out there that most of us do not understand. And they don't even understand it totally. But it's just a weird, weird, dark world that exists. And, you know, maybe it like changes people. The process of doing this actually changes. Maybe it just changes the brain and somebody just becomes a completely different person.
Go pick up the book or listen to the audiobook Black Pilled by Ellie Reeve. And Ellie is an extremely accomplished capital J journalist. She works at CNN right now. That's her day job. But before that, she worked with Vice News, put together an incredible little documentary about extremist violence. And she makes this case in this book. And she made the same case to me on the air when I asked her about it.
Yeah.
I said, this is not a right-wing problem.
And then also,
this, whether it's left or right, it kind of all comes out in the wash the same. You get these sort of nihilistic, pointless acts of violence that it's very difficult, like nailing down Jell-O, to say they committed this crime because of this political belief or they wanted to harm this person because of their political beliefs. It's never that easy. And there are hundreds of examples. We're talking about this one right now, and this one feels incredibly traumatizing in a way that some others have not. I don't know, because Charlie was just so famous, but and he was so central to the MAGA movement and to the White House. I mean, it really affected them personally because they were really close with him. So, well, we're talking about that, you know, this instance. If we're talking about this crime in this instance without looking at the literal dozens, if not hundreds, of other examples of mass shooter incidents or targeted assassinations that have 9 out of 10 things in common with the guy who shot Charlie Kirk, we're doing ourselves a deep disservice. That is an intellectually dishonest exercise. And we're not going to do that on this show.
Well, and it also seems like Charlie Kirk also just represented the antithesis of what some people are so mad about in this country. But yet, here's somebody who doesn't seem to have been that politically motivated. And also, I suggest that you also check out the Substack account, download the Substack app, and check out Abstract Machines. Also, while you're there, I hope you'll become a subscriber to Scoot on the Air. And this person is Cybele Cantarell, and she brings up some interesting points about all of this. All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to get to your calls and also some of your text messages. And the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad to be with you on this Monday afternoon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1970, Vice President Spiro Agnew claimed, quote, "The youth of America are being brainwashed into a drug culture of rock music, movies, books, and tabloid newspapers." Wow. Was he right? I mean, all those things were out there, but I don't know that we were brainwashed into a culture of rock music. I mean, we love rock music. Does that make it a culture? I guess to some degree, but not a negative culture. I mean, movies and books and tabloid newspapers, that kind of stuff has always been out there. That was really nothing new. But at the time when Richard Nixon was president and Spiro Agnew was vice president, at a time they wanted to blame everything on pop culture. They wanted to blame everything on entertainment and a young generation. Before I get to your calls and texts, let's take a quick look at Scoot's news briefs. The motives are still not entirely clear, but we're learning a little bit more about the 22-year-old who shot and killed Charlie Kirk last week.
Investigators in Utah over the weekend continued to piece together evidence in the shooting of Charlie Kirk last week. Utah Governor Spencer Cox said on Sunday that according to interviews with family and friends of the 22-year-old suspect Tyler Robinson, his politics veered to the left. Cox said Robinson's views had emerged after he had spent large amounts of time scrolling the dark corners of the internet in recent years. He added that Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. State records show Robinson is registered to vote, but not affiliated with a political party. His parents are registered Republicans. Cox said the suspect's partner was transgender, which some politicians have pointed to as a sign Robinson was targeting Kirk for his anti-transgender views. But authorities have not said whether it is relevant as they investigate Robinson's motive. Cox has also said that partisans on both sides should tone down their rhetoric, as investigators are reportedly still trying to pin down a motive for the killing. More details are expected to come out once Robinson appears in court on Tuesday.
All right. Well, hosting the late Charlie Kirk's radio show, Vice President J.D. Vance said he's got some big shoes to fill.
Hey, everybody. J.D. Vance here, live from my office in the White House complex and filling in for somebody who cannot be filled in for. But I'm going to try to do my best. My dear friend, the great Charlie Kirk.
And that is courtesy of the Charlie Kirk Show. Vice President Vance said a conversation with Kirk's widow still sticks with him.
She said to me that Charlie never raised his voice, that he never cussed at her, that he was never cross or mean-spirited to her. And look, I'm a husband. I'm proud of being a husband. I think that on the great balance of things that I'm a pretty good husband, but I can never say that I was never unpleasant with my wife. I can never say that I've never raised my voice to my wife. Like most husbands, even the good ones, we're sometimes imperfect. And I took from that moment that I needed to be a better husband. And I needed to be a better father.
After a legal back and forth and Trump's trade wars, it looks like the U.S. is going to finally take control of TikTok.
The Trump administration says it's reached a deal on TikTok's future after weekend trade talks with China.
We do have a framework for a deal with TikTok.
In Madrid, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent gave few details other than saying the deal's goal is to switch the social media platform to U.S. ownership.
President Trump and Party Chair Xi will speak on Friday to complete the deal.
Congress and the Biden White House approved a U.S. ban on TikTok unless its Chinese parent company sold the controlling stake. President Trump has repeatedly extended a deadline for shutting down the platform. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The Federal Reserve faces economic uncertainty and political pressure as it decides whether to cut interest rates.
The Trump administration's renewed its request to fire Lisa Cook from the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. A federal court ruled last month her removal was illegal and that Cook can remain in her position while she fights the effort. But the Trump administration sought an emergency ruling ahead of this week's Fed meeting on interest rates. Trump has been pushing the Fed for cuts, and last month, Chair Jerome Powell signaled one could be coming.
With policy in restrictive territory, the baseline outlook and the shifting balance of risks may warrant adjusting our policy stance.
Trump's reaction?
He should have cut him a year ago. He's too late.
This week's meeting will probably include Stephen Miron, a top White House economic aide Trump's appointed to fill an empty seat, though Miron's nomination has not yet been approved. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The economic golden age that President Trump promised during the campaign might not be coming too soon. It might come, but certainly not this year.
A new report says the economy will weaken this year. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report says President Trump's tariff policy, immigration crackdowns, and sweeping tax and spending laws are expected to increase jobless rates and inflation and lower overall growth this year before they improve next year. The outlook was updated and was originally released in January, before President Trump took office. The CBO outlooks attempt to set expectations for the economy. A White House spokesperson says Americans heard similar gloom and doom forecasts during President Trump's first term, when his economic agenda unleashed historic job, wage, and economic growth, and new policies are set to deliver, proving forecasters wrong again. Ed Donahue, Washington.
And that's it for a look at Scoot's News Briefs. Let's go to Jay, who's in Slidell. Hey, Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, the first thing, and I don't know if you maybe misspoke, but you refer to Austin as a martyr. I don't think it's inappropriate. He martyred somebody. He martyred Charlie Kirk.
No, okay. What I said about a martyr was I was just talking I was talking about. Yeah, I was saying something about.
Said he's not a.
He's
martyr.
The shooter's not a. The shooter's not a martyr if he's not bragging about what he did.
A martyr is somebody that gets killed for their beliefs. Somebody that kills somebody else for their beliefs is an assassin. Okay.
Well, I understand, but there. But sometimes
regardless,
those.
I don't want to get caught up on all that. Just let's look at what has happened in our country the last probably close to 15 years now, definitely the last 8 or 10. You know, we've got big echo chambers on the far left and the far right. I'll give you that, okay? The far right doesn't seem to resort to the violence like the far left does. This guy was indoctrinated. He was brainwashed. They wanted Charlie gone because young people were listening to him. He was turning the tide. I don't agree with everything he said, okay? I'm not saying he was 100% right, but he presented logical arguments in a calm fashion. He allowed people to have their time to debate him, and then usually he managed to make a convincing argument that disproved the other person's point of view. He wasn't always correct, but he was never this hate monger that he's portrayed to be. You might not agree with him, but he had a gay black man on his panel one time, and his audience was being vitriol with him, and he defended the guy, and, you know, it, you know, Charlie didn't hate people.
So, okay? Jay, tell me where were you hearing before this happened? Where were you hearing that they, whoever they are, where were you hearing that there was a lot of talk about getting rid of Charlie? Because I missed that.
I almost said it was.
But you said they wanted Charlie gone, like there was this conspiracy to kill Charlie.
I'm not saying there was a conspiracy. I'm just saying in general, the people that want to keep the stuff stirred up, you know, like create an environment. They called him a Nazi. They called him Hitler. Okay, so they, the people that were calling him, were setting the stage for somebody like this guy. They were filling his head.
Jay, do you think there's more talk about there was more talk prior to this of getting rid of Charlie Kirk, or is there more talk about getting rid of George Soros?
Of getting rid of who?
George Soros.
I hear a lot of
talk about that, and I get a lot of that on my social media.
Well, too. I mean, George Soros, whether they quote unquote get rid of him or not, they need to stop his influence. I can tell you that because. You can't allow somebody to buy political office.
So I appreciate, I appreciate the fact that you have, pointed out that it really is on both sides, and you know that's the kind of talk we need to get rid of. This, I'm absolutely convinced that it's from the left, and it's not. There are people on the right who want to get rid of George Soros. There are people who don't like a lot of people on the left when they're on the right. So I am going to just totally not recognize this hateful rhetoric that it's the left. And that's where we're going with this show. We put ourselves in this position as a country. And we can change it if we want to. And I'm going to do what I can with this show to try to change that as best I can.
There is a piece here from the National Institute of Justice, which is a department of the, of Maine Justice here. And they put out this research project last January. And the headline reads, what the National Institute of Justice research tells us about domestic terrorism. From the first paragraph, since 1990, far-right extremists have committed far more ideologically motivated homicides than far-left or radical Islamist extremists, including 227 events that took more than 520 lives. In that same period, far-left extremists committed 42 attacks that took 78 lives. Put that a shorter way, since 1990, far-right extremists have executed 227 events that killed 520 people. Far-left extremists committed 42 attacks that killed 78 people. What Jay said is incorrect. And I understand people are really going on vibes. You know, they're
because
it feels like the leftists have committed more, but
well,
they haven't.
Right. And that's what we're going to stop that. We're going to stop that. You know, we're trying to tell the truth here. We're trying to be honest here. But when somebody so casually says they've been wanting to get rid of, they've wanted Charlie gone, that means that there's a group, there's a large group out there that wanted to kill Charlie Kirk, or maybe a small group. But I didn't hear any of that. Charlie Kirk didn't hear any of that. I mean, he had security, but he wasn't paranoid. So that, you know, that's the rhetoric that we need to get rid of. Because there wasn't a group of people that wanted to get rid of Charlie Kirk. Not that we know of. And there are people who, excuse me, who want to get rid of others. So, again, why can't we come to terms here? Why does it have to be, no, your side did it. No, your side did it. Why does it have to be something about the score? You did it. No, you did. Why does it have to be that over it happened? Let's change it. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, 1962, 2 years before the Beatles arrived in America, and this was the number one song in the country. Stayed there for 5 weeks, and this was something, this was the kind of music that was on the radio all the time. Sherry, Four Seasons. All right, we'll be right back. This is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Fox News' Brian Kilmeade compared Charlie Kirk's NFL tributes to Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Seemed to surprise a lot of people. He said that, not that long ago, the league was encouraging everyone to take a knee while the national anthem was up and hailing Colin Kaepernick. And now you have them saying if you want every team, it's up to you. If you want to salute a conservative thinker who lived a brilliant life and really transcended everything, you can do that. It's up to you. Apparently, 12 teams did that. And I don't know if I would have made that comparison. I'm Scoot. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Jack in New Orleans. Jack, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, Scott?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the teams doing that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, with Colin Kaepernick, you are protesting a system, and it's a system that, frankly, a lot of people, white people, don't experience and don't see and don't understand. And those people are a lot of times the people that were like, "Oh, I'm burning my Nikes. Colin Kaepernick is going down." Da da da. You simply can't even fathom what it is that he's protesting, and you don't have empathy for it at all. And you're not in a position to where you would even have to protest something like that. So that really blows me off. And then with the Charlie Kirk stuff, it's just, to me, he was a really hateful individual, and just contributed to a very divisive, rhetoric and speech. I don't I can't tell you what good he accomplished. And sure, that's great that he was
Jack,
on campus.
You know, I mean, I understand that a lot of people have that point of view, but still, that's no reason to support him being shot.
Oh, no, not at all. And that's another thing I want to say, too, is that, like, this is the murder of a man. This is nothing to be celebrating. This is nothing. And if anything, it is a microcosm of another issue that we have in America with gun violence. And it is a tragedy that he passed and did so in a quite terrifying, violent way.
Yeah.
And no, that is despicable. That is disgusting. But what is also just equally more disturbing is the fact that people are, you know, larging to assign the shooter to some type of group and group them in with somebody so that it can confirm their worst beliefs of, yes, the left is this violent, da, da, da. What are we talking about? It's a person who killed a person. That is bad.
You're right about that, Jack. And since, you know, there's no initial political leanings on this guy. Maybe he leaned a little bit left, but there's nothing obvious that made him a leftist Democrat or even a Democrat. Then I'm not sure why people are so comfortable. Well, they're comfortable because, you know, people are into hating. I mean, they're into it. It's a recreational sport now. And so they like being ramped up about this, and they like wanting to, you know, blame the other side because it makes them feel better about themselves. But Charlie Kirk's shooter did not seem to show any signs of being really a typical political nerd of any kind. And therefore, it might not have even been politics for the reason that he was motivated to shoot him.
Right. I personally don't care what his motivation was. It's a wrong motivation. To kill anybody is wrong. You know, I vehemently disagree with Charlie Kirk and wish his platform didn't exist. But, you know, we can't come to these types of conclusions. And what's really dangerous, too, is when people are saying, oh, it's a trans so-and-so, he had trans inscribed on his bullets, whatever. That just goes further to demonize a very small group, but also largely underrepresented group of America, of your citizens, of your neighbors that you were talking about, that you were demonizing.
Yeah, it seemed like that represented just some talk within the world in which he lived. Jack, I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for calling. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get back to more of your comments. If you're on hold, just stay with us. We will get back to your calls. You know, you are free to say what you want and think what you want, but unfortunately today there might be consequences for expressing your thoughts freely. And that's what happened to Charlie Kirk. But no matter what Charlie Kirk stood for, he had a right to say what he believed in. He had a right to say it, and he should not have been silenced with a bullet. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. So there is a report now that two people have been arrested after an explosive device was found underneath a Fox News van in Utah. This is the hate we're talking about. We shouldn't be at this point, and we should not let it get any worse. And I'm going to do what I can to try to usher people away from going into that automatic hate tunnel where it's just convenient and cathartic. It just feels good to just blame the other side when deep down inside, a lot of people know that it's both sides. All right, a lot more still to come. We'll talk a little bit about the states and the idea that we might have National Guard troops in New Orleans. I'm Scoot on the air, and we've got a lot more to talk about coming up on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.